pray. Take a deep breath. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And I have a heart.
And I have a heart.
It does perceive.
It does perceive.
That you're talking to me.
That you're talking to me.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to apologize because of what he, let's say, showed me this morning, that my Bible is very well colored. It's got every color under the sun, highlighting different messages at different times over the years. But there was very little yellowing or highlighting in some of my Bible because of one subject, and that subject is finances.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Woo, here we go.
Yes.
I love it.
You might not enjoy it, but you will definitely love it. And when I looked up a couple of words, one of them jumped off the page because of some of the discussions that we have had as a board in obedience to the Lord. And some questions came, and our accountability as a church was called into play. But when a decision was made, it was made because of a vision. And a word came in that vision. So I wanted you to go to Acts chapter 2. That's where I'm going to, I pray, not only repent, which means changing my mind, but changing my future, whatever he wants. Not bowing to the fear of more offense to the church people because they've been used and abused because of finances.
Right.
Not only abused, but seduced.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Seduced in such a way that they claim the Holy Ghost told them this or claim that the Holy Ghost told them that. And by all means, I'm not saying they were right or wrong, but the spirit pushing behind it was not God. In many cases, I'm not saying in all cases, but in many cases. Where it got to the point that for 20 years I worked at another church, and some of you can confirm, every single Friday and every single Sunday, it was my job to take up an offering. And if you think I didn't hate the job, then I would say make an adjustment. I hated it. I hated it with a passion. And when our church was formed, some of you already know, we don't pass a basket. We never did. We won't. Because of that hatred and that anger that I had that people were being seduced. And I just didn't want or enjoy that particular part of the trip. But you do as you're told, you don't ask questions. And the Lord told me again this morning, look at all the scriptures you kind of skipped. Okay, so I'm taking humble pie and I'm confessing my sin to you. My hatred of the abuse to the saints overruled some of the words that the Lord should have been able to use me for. Then there was a vision that came. And in that vision was that there was a crack in our foundation.
Oh,
yes. And that crack would mean that some of the bricks needed to be removed. And in order to get a good solid foundation, some new bricks needed to come in. So you're about to taste some of the bricks that I'm bringing into you today because they're going to change tomorrow.
Amen.
And how we think and act.
Amen.
So, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you look at Acts chapter 2, you'll also see that Peter in verse 38 said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When I was baptized, I was probably 4 days old. I didn't receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They came when I was 37. You say, why are you making that? Because my religious background said I've got it all put together. And there was no accountability on my part. Because I had a godfather and a godmother that could tell me that, yes, I did get sprinkled. But Jesus gave us an example. He didn't say, go get sprinkled to John the Baptist. He says, I'm ready to walk into the river with you. Ha. If I remember correctly, Jesus said, follow me, do what I did. He didn't say, do what you think is comfortable because the water might be cold or hot.
Come on.
Taking your reasoning out of the picture and making you into a solid foundation is God's job, and he's not quitting on me or you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because Peter was a chicken. And it took a rooster for him to wake up. Come on now. Tell me about it.
That was good. That was good.
Yes or no?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it may be a play on words, but I pray you get the picture. Yeah. I don't know him. Okay? Talk about a trip for this guy. He's a macho guy. He owns a whole company of boats. And he gave it all up. What about you? What about me? Mm-mm-mm. Somebody questioned me. Well, Kim, who gave you the authority to do such and such? I said, well, here it is. When God told me I was 39 years old to sell my business, which 90% of the mortgage had finally been paid, and I was going to be on Easy Street, and he told me, sell it all. I didn't say a word to my wife for about 7 months, but that word would not leave my heart. And January 1981. Yeah. We're driving to the office. Her and I, we prayed every single morning. We held hands on the way to the office. And I said, you better hold on to my hand real tight, dear. Because the Lord has made it clear for 6 months now that we're going to be selling the business. And she says, you're out of your tree. We're just about to be free. I know, because I paid the bills, dear. She happened to be the bookkeeper. She did it for 10 years. Why are we doing this? Because the Lord said so. And I could go on. I'm not looking to advertise. But I can tell you this, God gave me the grace to obey. All right? He gave me the grace to obey. And it took a year and a half before the final papers were signed. And we walked away from our building and the corporate structure that it involved. We sold everything, and what we couldn't sell, we gave it away. Or what we gave away, we did with joy. You say, how did you do that? By choice. You don't ask questions. You see a woman who's just had two babies and her husband walks out on her, and you find out that she needs a home and she needs an apartment, and you give her the apartment and you fill it up.
Amen.
That's what you do.
Come on.
Now, nobody forced me to do it, but my wife and I did it with joy. Okay? But because of my experience in obedience, whenever I saw somebody being seduced to give a gift, I knew the difference. That's why the foundations of my hatred of putting a basket out there and forcing people to give because, oh, we need the money. I'm sorry. God can get money out of anything and any prayer he wants.
Amen.
He doesn't need you to give. He needs you to learn to give.
Come on. Come on.
Joy.
Yes, come on.
All right, and obey to give.
Yes.
Watch now. If Peter says repent and be baptized, it's the truth. 39 says the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. God calls us into his kingdom.
Amen.
Michael, you're here because of his calling, not me, because I didn't call you after this. You're here because the Lord pressed you here. Whether you return or not, that's going to be up to him, not me. Leo, it's the same for you. 40, verse 40. With many words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Do you think our generation is corrupt? No. You better look around. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Verse 42 is where I headed you for. Listen carefully. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods. I lived it. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in their temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You say, now what does that have to do with me and today? Well, we had a person that had a need. And in their need, they cried out to the Lord, and the information came to the board. And this scripture is what the Lord showed me. So when that need was made evident, there was a press in my heart. And I connected with Dale, and I connected with Peggy. I told them the situation. And we all agreed together, the three of us, that we would fill that need to the best of our ability with what we had available. We didn't have to sell anything, but we did have to do a little bit of adjusting here and there. And does that mean that everyone who gets a need, we're going to fill? No. It does mean, however, that if the Holy Spirit presses and said, do, I'm obedient enough to carry out the ball and get it to the victory line, so that the person's need will be met according to his riches in glory, not according to somebody's bright idea. You see, there have been people who have come to us as a board over the years and as pastor, and they took advantage of us, and I knew it. I can tell you that I've seen abuse by people who would lie and literally use several churches as pawns to whom they seduced one after another and made it look that they were really in need. And because of a lack of discernment on the parts of the leaders, they were taken advantage of.
Wow.
And that made me very angry. We had a person that came to us that had a legitimate need because there was a crisis. And I said to the board at that time, this person has a financial need, but I don't trust what they're going to do because their history is wishy-washy. Because the Lord had showed me. So we gave. But what we gave in increments every 2 weeks.
All right now.
And we watched the behavior to see if they were going to go back to their old pattern or if they would hold on to what they were given and appreciate what they were given. That individual came back several times. And quite a few times, I made the decision, along with the board, not to give. And then we were accused and sworn at. We were called different names because they wanted to control their way to use the financial resources of this church. You say, well, wait a minute. Why are you telling me all this? I'm telling you that if you have a connection to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will tell you if so-and-so is on target or off-center.
Amen.
And he'll confirm it in two or three witnesses.
Amen.
So when I made that phone call to the other two board members, we were in harmony and agreed to obey. The numbers are not important. What's important is that the Lord will get the glory out of our obedience.
Amen. Amen.
The apostles were questioned. If you go back into the scriptures, you'll find that there was Ananias and Sapphira who lied to Peter. And him and his wife both ended up dead. Really? That should give you and me a little bit of an awareness that God knows what's in your pocket. He knows what's in your bank account. And if he's asking you to give something, you're not going to be answering to me or anyone else for that matter, but you will answer to the Lord.
Yes, you will.
Because he knows if he asks you to give $10, he knows if he asks you to give $20. He knows if he asked you to give 50 or 500. Whatever he tells you, if you disobey, you're no different than Ananias and Sapphira.
Come on.
It's not a different Holy Ghost that we're talking about. We're talking about the Lord of glory, who knows everything about you. He knows where you were born, how much you got in your wallet, how much you will have down the road. He can tell you who you're going to be before you get there. Did you notice I'm on a roll?
Yeah.
Yes, I love it.
Good.
Just love it.
Keep rolling.
Come on, roll it in, roll it in. Keep on rolling.
I'm going to talk to you about me. And I want you to go to your Bible, Malachi chapter 3.
Oh, come on.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 10.
Sing it.
I was a good little boy at that time. I went to church every Sunday.
You go.
Whether I needed it or not.
You go.
Because I was afraid to go to hell. So, when the Holy Ghost started to work on me, to be very truthful, it was quite uncomfortable. I didn't like some of these words. But somebody pounded into them the power of the Holy Spirit to convict me. It wasn't the person's words going out of that person's mouth. It was when I went back and I read it for myself and I said, whoa.
Come on.
Okay? Oh my God. Whoa. Oh, shit. Before I read that, I'm catching a vision. Deuteronomy is where the covenant is made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That I will be a lender to many nations.
Amen.
Oh, yep. Jesus.
And when I read that, there was anger in me. Because at that time, we still had the company. This was in 1978, I believe. Beginning of 78. He said, Kim, are you going to be honest with me? I said, Lord, is there any other way to be? Because you know me everything. You know everything about me. You know every circumstance of who I am. He said, well, are you willing to write a contract? Oh. I said, never done that before. Oh, he says, yes, you did. He said, when you purchased the company that you now own, did you go to your attorney? Did you have him check out? Did you sign the paper? I said, yes, I did. Oh, when you bought your car, did you sign the dotted line on the agreement? I said, yes, I did. He said, how about signing one with me for a change?
Come on. Sign away. Come on. Put your name on the dotted line.
I did.
Come on.
I did. It took me about a week to find all the scriptures that fit my circumstances and my corporate structure. And I wrote it all out. And then, of course, I had to present it to my wife. She looked at that and she said, are you crazy? I said, no, but I think the Lord thinks I am if I don't do this. Mm-hmm. So she started to smile and she says, I said, I'm not asking you to sign it. I'm asking you to sign it as a witness. She said, okay, but is Raymond going to sign it? I said, he better. He's my buddy. He knows everything about me. And he knows that I'm on the dotted line with the Word of God, and it's about time I obey. So I called Ray, and he came over with his wife, Carol. So she was the insurance. If she was willing, she would coordinate it. So there's three signatures, three witnesses. I'm not sure if I still have the contract, but I do know this. I remember us joining hands at my kitchen table, anointing the four corners of the paper, and then they sign as witnesses that it was my signature. Mm-hmm. And from that day forward, everything I own belonged to him.
Amen.
Yeah. That's why he could ask me to sell it all. And what I didn't sell, I gave.
Come on.
Why am I saying this to you? Because it's time for you to see the truth. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe, which is the whole 10%, into the storehouse, which is the church, that there may be food in my house. I knew that that scripture fit for me. Then he said this word. This particular word is the most powerful word in all of the New Testament and the Old.
Amen.
He said, test me in this.
Come on.
Test me.
Oh, Lord. Thank you.
Put me to the word. Okay? And he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it.
Come on.
Another scripture says, open the windows of heaven.
Yes.
I remember the vision about the windows being locked open because you got angry. I saw you.
Mm-mm-mm.
That was quite a week ago. Good. Why are we so adamant about holding on because we bow to fear rather than obedience?
Come on.
Okay? Fear was so much a part of my life that I lived every thought and evaluated every action and reaction because I, not knowingly, served fear. If I was about to put something in the basket, my brain evaluated how much I was going to have to figure out to feed the kids, to feed me, to pay the mortgage, etc., etc. And the Lord said, when are you going to think about me first and I can put you on my list of firsts? Ooh, that was not something I was accustomed to. Why? Because I'm revealing to you my heart when I had to allow him to change me. Then the accuser came and accused me. Oh, he had his bag of tricks, which nobody told me about. Until I needed more scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. This one I knew, but I had to witness it. Matthew 6, verse 3. But when you give to the needy, to the needy. Mm-hmm. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Amen.
So, if your right hand's not supposed to know what your left hand has done, it's time for you to learn to keep your mouth shut. You're not to advertise what you gave for whatever reason, and that's why I'm breaking out of the mold today, because he's told me it's time. Why? Because we're coming into a new season with this church.
Yes, we are.
We're going to be going to places where we've never been before.
Come on.
And when he decides to fill it up, that's going to be up to him. You see, we've been here for many years and been kind of in a stagnant space, and that's okay. I don't have a problem. Jesus only could survive with 12. In case you forgot, that's not a big number. Yet, he was called a failure, wasn't he? In the eyes of the Jews, he was a failure. Yet, his failure was so offensive to the whole leadership of their churchianity of that day that they had him killed. Think about it. Your whole covenantal coordinate that God puts together for your life is not going to be mine. It's going to be yours. He's going to allow you to give when he tells you to give, how he tells you, and where, and for what purpose, and for what reason. But as you saw in Malachi 3, he wants you to put 10% into the storehouse.
Come on.
That storehouse is so that it can be distributed as needed.
Yes.
You have an awesome picture of a young man that's now in jail for years because he's accused of violating his big master's wife. Yet, Joseph was not guilty. But what did he do? He was able to explain a dream. And that dream, when he explained it to Pharaoh, gave him the position of the second in command of the whole nation. Provision was put away in a storehouse for 7 years. And then he kept his own family alive because of his obedience, when, by the way, his family had given up on him too. They couldn't stand him. They were jealous of him. There may be some that are jealous of you. You know what I say to them? Tough cookies.
Thank you, Lord.
Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, he gives as instructions. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I stress the word freely. Romans 12:8. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Look at all the options you have. But don't do it with a frown. Okay. Didn't think we were going to go there, but I guess we will. I shared about the young woman that came to me about her dilemma. And her husband left her with 2 children and no insurances, no etc., nothing. My wife and I did not see this young woman or her children for about 18 years. But her mother passed away in Belchertown. Knew the mother very well. My wife and I went to the funeral, and as we're walking out of the church, many people, all in the front of the steps, and here comes the young woman with her new husband and her 2 grown children. And the young woman points to me and she says, "You see, kids, he's the reason that we were able to survive for a length of time. And that's his wife who approved all the things that they gave us so we could stay alive. Sometimes it's going to take 20 years before you learn why you did what you did. And did it break me? Yes. I bawled my eyes out and I grabbed her and I gave her a hug. And then she says, meet my new husband. We are the happiest couple in the earth. And we love our children because we learn to give. And you were our example. I remember I drove home and bawled all the way home. Because you see, it costs something when you are going to give out of your need.
Amen.
And at that time we had needs. And they weren't taken care of. For a long time we wondered if we were sane. And to top it all off, we got sued by the state 6 months later. On an argument that they were right and I was wrong. Because we had hired a subcontractor. You know about subcontractors. Well, the state said, no, they're not a subcontractor. So we want about $10,000 of your money. And we want it with interest. And I could go on and give you another scenario. It's not because I don't know what happens with finances. It's because I hated what people did with it. To manipulate and to tamper with people's free will. First Corinthians 16:2. First Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. So they didn't have to pass the basket. It didn't put anybody on a guilt trip. And I said, yes, God. Yes. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. You may not like this one. I warn you. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart. So it's personal. To give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Amen. For God loves a cheerful giver. He's looking at your emotions.
Yes.
If you're not happy about giving it, please keep it in your pocket. You better have a conversation with him about what you're going to give and when you're going to give and to whom you're going to give it. Because if you don't obey, it's not on me, it's on you. Acts 11:29. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. The disciples according to what?
Their ability.
Thank you. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. According to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Forcing people to give out checks with post-dated, hoping that they will be able to be filled, end up in some kind of a court situation because now they have double fees. Oh, I have a word of knowledge. You're supposed to give such and such. And you feel like you want to get that blessing. Oh, it must be God. Oh, I'll write a check. And I'll post it for next month. Dumb. Well, I'm being honest. Am I not being honest? You're giggling. If you got caught, you don't need to put your hand up. But I'll tell you, I was tempted. But I hated the results. Because you see, for 20 years, I answered phone calls at Grace Church of Christ. And I had to put up with those who were seduced and try to figure out how do we get them to survive what they've been abused financially with different ministries on television and on radio. Didn't think we were going to go there. But so many people that I would cry out with them because now they had put their families in situations that they should have never had to live in if they had not been seduced. but they were seduced. Hear me when I say this. I've cried with more people who were financially abused in church relationships and abusive situations that should have never happened because they didn't follow that word. Hear me when I say this. The Holy Spirit is not stupid. He knows what you've got. He won't ask you to do something you cannot afford to do. He won't pressure you. But if you ask him for clarity, Philippians 3:15, if you have a nudge to obey and you're not sure, take a few days. Cry out to him. I want help here, Lord. I don't want to miss the boat. I don't want to miss a blessing either.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? In obedience, I have been blessed. Many times I have been blessed. Sometimes the blessing comes to one-to-one. I can remember being at a conference. We're sitting in the second row. There was a young black gentleman sitting in front of me, to my left. Holy Spirit says, I want you to give that young man $20. So I took out my wallet, and I folded $20 bill, put it in my left hand, and waited. How am I going to get the young man, you know, without attracting all kinds of attention? Sure enough, the leader says, I want you to turn around and greet the people around you. Well, there was my opportunity. I took the 20, put it in my hand, and I shook the young man's hand, and he kind of opened it up, and I closed his hand, and I just held it, and I said, be blessed. So now, conference is over, and we're going out. And does anybody know that parents and grandparents can get pretty excited when their kids are blessed?
Amen.
Well, these two black ladies, one was an elder lady, probably my age, and a younger one. And they came over and said, oh, can we give you a hug? Well, of course you can give me a hug. And the older one is crying. The tears are rolling down. We've been waiting for a confirmation that our grandson is going to go to college. And you are the one that confirmed it. I said, I had no idea. My wife says, well, what did you do? I said, does the right hand know what the left hand is doing? Because she ended up with some hugs from those two people, a couple of others that were part of the family team that were together. So because of my obedience to listen to the Lord, that young man was heading to college. He would be the first young man in that family to even enter the college possibilities because he didn't know which one yet. Why all this today?
Because it...
Genesis 14, 20. Genesis 14. Blessed be God Most High, who delivers your enemies into your hands. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Genesis 28, 22. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be to God's house, will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth or 10%. Last but not least, Leviticus 27:30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord.
Amen.
I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you are listening to what those words are today, that your life will change.
Yes, it should.
We were pressed to Be obedient to the Lord as a church. And now I'm asking all of you to be obedient to the Lord as he leads you. Whether it's today, tomorrow, or the next week, just obey him. And ask him for the grace to carry out what he tells you to do. I gave you some of my personal ups and downs. I did promise the Lord this morning that I would obey if he wanted me to go further on this. But my prayer, I'm telling you about emotionally now. As far as I'm concerned, I would like to never talk about this again. Okay? That's being honest. I hate what I have seen happen in many, many, many men and women of God. And with all of them, I say in my heart of hearts, their intention when they did it was really pure. Yes, but they didn't discern what was underneath. They didn't actually carry out something that was really of God. It sounded good, it looked good, it smelled good, but it was seduction. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. And maybe lift one hand to the Lord. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Let there be truth in my heart.
Let there be truth in my heart.
Confirm me what you want from me.
Confirm me what you want from me.
And for me.
And for me.
Give me the grace.
Give me the grace.
To release a blessing today.
To release a blessing today.
To those that were injured.
To those that were injured.
Because of finances.
Because of finances.
And pressure tactics.
And pressure tactics.
By churches.
By churches
and ministries.
And ministries.
Whether it's radio.
Whether it's radio.
Or television.
Or television.
Or letters in the mail.
Or letters in the mail.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
That was used to injure them.
That was used to injure them.
Protect and heal them today.
Protect and heal them today.
For this is your plan.
For this is your plan.
For this house of prayer.
For this house of prayer.
And all the nations.
And all the nations.
That we touch.
That we touch.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We pray.
We pray.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.